here.
He's a turnaround.
Hello and welcome to Springboard, your virtual university. My name is Albert Okran, welcoming you on behalf of Team Springboard. This is your most inspirational show and the place where the greatest minds in the world converge. Springboard is brought to you by the Springboard Roshi Foundation and proudly sponsored by MTN Ghana and the Enterprise Group, with media support from the Multimedia Group and the Graphic Communications Group. Today, I get to sit with a man I have known, appreciated, and admired for several years. I tell him that his CV is so long it can be framed as an art piece. He comes from that crop of managers and leaders who were pioneers and traversed different industries and bring very rich experience to the conversation. So call somebody to call somebody to call somebody, because in the studios of Springboard today, I have the Martin Ison Benjamin. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Thanks so much for making time.
Yeah, also thanks for successfully dragging me to this place.
I know, sir, right?
I'm a very dodgy person when it comes to these things.
It's an honor to make yourself available for this conversation, and I look forward to learning myself, because I have admired people like you, because you come from an era where management was different. They were literally like thoroughbreds. You went through the mill, and anytime I get to hang out with people like yourself, Mr. Yamson, all the people who went through that kind of rigor, I find that I am enriched personally, and my listeners and viewers are also enriched. So thanks for making time.
Thank you.
Let's start with your professional journey and what the journey of life took you through, because there's so much you want to learn from it.
Thank you very much. It's always nice for people to define themselves as other accountants or doctors or medical doctors or architects, but I see myself as a generalist, because I've played roles in many, many, many sectors of the economy and in various industries. But I would dwell on the fact that I'm a sales and marketing man. I have worked for fast-moving consumer goods businesses and for many consumer interest areas, in many consumer interest areas. In the long run, I became a managing director, so therefore I became a general manager. So in that position, you have to know a bit of everything. So that's how I define myself, that as a generalist. Because I didn't specifically train in particular areas, like I won't say I'm not an engineer, but I had done a bit of engineering work. So I add all of them, and then in the long run, I define myself as somebody who is just like leading the orchestra and bringing people together so that they can harmonize whatever is being done. In the long run, you bring beautiful music out.
I look at your CV and I see Marketing Director, Marketing Controller of Lever Brothers of Unilever, Marketing Director and Executive Chairman of Kumasi Brewery Limited, Managing Director GBL, and it goes on and on. Empretech. I look at your role in Millennium Development Authority, a number of boards you've either chaired or served on, including the Multimedia Group,
yes,
the Enterprise Group, and various subsidiaries. You call yourself a generalist. Help me to trace from school the experiences that prepared you to be a journalist and the kind of manager that you became.
Yes, I left school in June 1972. The school administration at the time, that's what it was called. Today is the business school, University of Ghana. And immediately got employed by UAC and sent to Kumasi Brewery Limited, which was then a subsidiary of the UAC of Ghana. And in there, I joined in July 24th, 72. But 3 weeks thereafter, I was sent out to Nkoko as a sales rep, which meant that put your degree aside and come and now go to brass tacks, see what people are doing on the ground to be able to build the business up. So there
was a common practice, like everybody went through that.
It was literally a programmed arrangement for anybody who come out of university, because those days there weren't many local boys and girls who were going straight into industry. But being Unilever, UAC was part of Unilever International, they had laid down a roadmap, you know, that if you wanted to become a managing director one day, then you have to start from the bottom properly.
Was that your plan in your head?
I went in there with ambition that once others have done it, and that was since the young shall grow, and the sky is the limit. If you do the right things, one day you become like the managing director who was there, Mr. Beasley. And I knew that one day the white man would go away. That was because independence had come and Ghana was taking over in the reins of government. Everything was us. We are doing it ourselves.
How old are you then?
At the time, I was 22 years and 7 months.
22 years, seven months.
And I left.
Holding a degree from University of Ghana. You say one day I'll become MD.
My father, when he goes in the house, was eight of us siblings. And when I got through, I think I was the first person to have, you know, joined a company of that nature. My father was a teacher, was an education officer. And he told me that if I really listened well and didn't go and become loquacious as I've always been, and I watched what people do in terms of what they wore, what they said, how they comported themselves, you also go places. And that my father used the word a lot, that career. You must have an ambition, you must have a career. And that's as he had done. He went to teaching and then became an education officer. So I should pursue the career diligently. And because I was the first to go out of the house, I mean, that type of, you know, instruction was also reverberating my mind at all times. So I knew that if I did the right things, there was every good chance that I could also become one of the senior managers. I did not assume that I was going to be the managing director, though. I thought I would be a senior manager. So that's how I started. So in Nkoko, I was the first sales rep ever to be sent to Nkoko, and I stayed in there for 11 months. And I toured almost every part. I knew every village. I crossed the water river, I went to a front place, Donko Krum. Those days the roads were bad, but we went through them. And without a vehicle, without anything, but doing it with the local market women and rest of it. But then after 11 months, you then graduate from the village, and then you now come to town, and you are now tested as a supervisor, which means that you play the role of going also to look at what others are doing and seeing whether you can share your experiences with them and correcting what they do. Because you were a complete sales rep. And now that you've cut your teeth and you become a supervisor, then you've moved yourself away from being a trainee manager. Because at the time, I was a trainee manager. Now they begin to look at you. If you pass the test of a supervisor, then you are likely to become an assistant manager, which means you are not a manager yet because you've not showcased. So I went through and became a senior manager. Then after 2 years of ups and downs, became a full manager in 1974. So before then, I had been exposed to courses at the University of Ghana. I've gone to courses in at Tech University, KNUST, to do things in statistics, in commercial mathematics, and, you know, things that you apply as you go along. And people ran away from that. But I thought, look, even if I'm not a mathematician, I don't like mathematics, let me go and do it. If I go there, I just, for the father that I participated, you know, somebody will know that I did the right things. And it paid off. Because in 1976, you know, the government had taken a decision that some of these businesses must go back to Ghanaians. And one of them was market research. And therefore, they were looking for somebody who would go out and participate in consumer market research in Nigeria, in the UK. And because I've done this mathematics and other things, I was the first person to be selected. So it was just an opportunity, and I got it. So I was in London for six months, you know, working with the Unilever's market research company, and then got the opportunity to attend the summer schools in Oxford and other things, just all for consumer marketing and consumer market research. But then the funny thing happened that I told them I was not interested in staying in London for that long because it looks like I wasn't having the practical side of it. And everybody fell apart. I mean, how? Everybody is rushing to Europe. Everybody is coming to London. And you, this little boy, after 4 months, you say you don't want to be here.
Was it the weather, the food, or your
No, business? I was comfortable. I went there in April. So I was comfortable. I had a hotel. I had the per diem. I had everything. But I saw that I was not getting the opportunity to be part of things and writing things. And I will, every time I play the second fiddle.
What inspires you? What kind of person are you? What drives you?
You see, I am a very ethical person. Let me use the word. And I have fellow feeling. I believe that what somebody else also have done, you can do it. Once you enter the university and went to school and you had a graduate, I immediately compared myself to any graduate anywhere. And therefore, the aspirations of becoming better people and rest of it immediately became part of me. That as a person, I should be aggressively entrepreneurial. Not because I want to invest my own money, not equity as such, but in the sense that my mindset should let me be competitive and be able to achieve results which the other person has achieved. So like when I was sent to London, at the time, the other groups of people in there were all graduates from Oxford and Cambridge. Those are the people you level to select. They were thrown into the company as one of the people helping, training with them. And I realized that, after meeting, they weren't any extraordinary anyway. They weren't. Apart from the fact that they spoke fantastic English, they were just like anybody like me. So I wanted to try my hands at proposals. As when you're sitting in the middle and say, you go and write a proposal, I thought, why not? Why didn't they ask me to write a proposal? At least they can judge it. So in the long run, when I said I was going away, then they opened up and said, okay, Martin, next time you don't just follow them. You should also do a bit of writing and let's see. Then I wrote two or three proposals which had come from Nigeria because they were supervising Nigeria from London. So I wrote a proposal for one of the companies, agency what, and everybody thought that I'd looked at all because I had studied whatever I'd read. I've seen what others have gone to their library. So I wrote, not that I plagiarized, no, I wrote a paper and it had all the elements that needed for a proposal. So I wrote about three of them. So I think when they looked at it, they thought, hey, this guy who was just walking around here, he has something. So somebody called me one day, like, what type of universities do you have in Ghana? The University of Ghana, most of the lecturers, some of them have come to Oxford and Cambridge. Oh, so what is this? A red roof university. It's a good university. Yeah, we think so. It looks like there's a lot of quality. I remember very well when the guy was called Paul Essex. There's a lot of quality in what you write because some people don't even have all the corners that you cover because you. But then I had gone to tell them that I'm not interested in staying in London.
I'm sure they thought you were crazy.
I thought so. So my then I wrote a note, rather than a telegram, a letter. This they call it a letter.
Blue and red.
He came to Ghana. My boss saw it. My MD here is a white man. He also from England. He's an English guy. So he also sent it to his colleague in London and said, "Look, this is what my young man is saying.
That he doesn't like London.
He doesn't like London." So they called my MD. Called me one day. Come to my office. I went to his office. Have coffee. Sit down. I let you want to go away. What's wrong? So you see, when I go back, they will ask me to do market research. They will ask me that, to take market research in Ghana. But if I don't have the field experience, if I don't lead a field, then I go back, I'm afraid I may not be able to perform. And I have that fright in me. So I want to go to Nigeria. Because at that time, I had known a lot about Nigeria. Nigeria was also bubbling, and they were doing a lot of good market research. I want to go to Lagos so that I can release Lagos to Ghana. Because that was in KBL. So Nigerian Breweries. And I could read things that they had done for Nigerian Breweries. So in the long run, they said, okay, I should go back. I'll go. But I should stay for maybe 3 months more and see what I can pick up. So after 3 months, they all did a goodbye. They sent me off, and I was very happy.
I went to Lagos
and I shone. Interestingly, when I went to Lagos, they sent somebody down to come and train us from London to train the team. And the examples they brought, the proposal they brought to show how a proposal must look like.
Don't tell me.
Was mine.
Don't tell me.
I tell you, two of them were mine.
Are you serious?
So I went to the guy and said, hey.
You know who wrote this?
When I finished everything, I didn't want to, but I was, this is my paper. But this guy's not acknowledging it. Because he's taking it as one of the documents people have written. Because you don't sign off in your name. It's a proposal. You write it and it goes to the system.
It's filed, thank you.
He came in and when I went to in the office, I said, when I was in the UK, I wrote that paper. He says, oh, I didn't know that. For me, I was just a bit asked to come and train. I was just giving examples of good
proposals.
So I'm just here to train and I'm joining the research company, but I'm from the British Market Research BMRI. I'm a Brain Market Research Institute, and that's why And I said, I wrote it. So that's commendable. That is how, you know, I began to get the confidence that, look, I should be able to drive, you know, consumer research in Ghana and elsewhere.
Before you go to Nigeria and what happened there, from the Osofo point of view, I see a David who, when everybody else is running from Goliath, you are seeing David and Goliath will just killing for you. I mean, why would you go and beg for work? I mean, say, give me something tougher to do. What was inspiring you?
I was, to use the word, and you know, a wide-eyed young man left University of Ghana, so confident, feeling that I've achieved. I thought I should have even had first class. I didn't get second upper. And I felt very bad about it. You know, I said, why did we get first class? That's because first class is there for the taking. Everybody ran away from it. We all ran away. We went to second class apart. We ran away from it. Oh, it's a painful.
So the anger about not getting first class.
Yeah, anger of not getting there, coming out to university with a first class degree. Because if you look at my thesis, I've done elementary school 5 years. You know, Saito, class 1 to secondary school, 5 years. Secondary school, 4 years. So I thought that the trajectory was that when I go to university, I should become even something else. So I didn't get it. But then I passed. Okay, I got a job. A month after I finished, I got a job. And I think I blew the interview. But the whole thing is this. If you don't go to the cutting edge and you just sit at the back, you will be left out. Not necessarily aggressive, not necessarily going to undermine anybody, but everybody has his own wishes. I mean, my desires is that once I've gone out of school, I should shine. I should let people know that education has gone into me. It's not that I've gone through education.
I'm looking at the words of your father, and I wrote them down. The father's advice about how to build what he called a career.
Yes.
Watch what people wore, watch what they said, and watch how they comported themselves.
Exactly.
Three things.
Yes. So it's related to mentorship. So me, a mentor is a working dream. It's a daydream. Everybody you see, whether it's even your junior, can be your mentor. Because you see a younger classmate who is sharp and organized. You know, you might not go and talk to him, but you want to be like him and you want to emulate things he does. There are people who never default with classwork. Homework, they deliver. So the question is, why? The same way when I went to work, there are seniors who, Mr. Yamson, Mr. Krufa, Mr. Wolfa, Mr. Debilabi, and the rest of them, they are sartorially, I mean, dressing like, they are spot on. They are being applauded by the people in London and elsewhere. They are doing a great job. You've come to learn from them. So therefore, the only thing that you can do to optimize your opportunities is to make sure that you see what they do, follow what they do, listen to them carefully, go to them, sit on their feet, show them what you have done, let them go through it, let them throw it under the bus, and at the end of the day, polishes you.
Did you ever sometimes go to people like Mr. Yamson, Mr. Crawford?
Yamson was my boss. Yamson and I, interestingly, much as he is about seven years older than me, we joined KBL on the same day. Because he was 6 years ahead of me in USC, Christ Company. And he was being transferred to come and do a lot more in marketing, not selling, not distribution. Reels, hard news, hardcore marketing. And KBL was then flying through the roof with marketing. So when I joined, on that day, I joined 24th of July, 1972, he had also come into the company, the Monday. And so the plan, what they drew for us in terms of induction was the same. We were going to the same places and I was going with him. So we bonded from day one, even though he was my senior. He was my senior, he was my brother, he was my mentor. He had made it in Accra's company. He has come to our place as branch manager. He's going to be my boss, and I'm privileged to have been there with him from day one.
I remember very well when I finished university, how I used to look at the two of you and say, these are the brains. I mean, yes, on the lighter side, I had an opportunity of doing a brief assignment with Raymond Akka.
Yes.
He was doing a process review assignment.
He is a project consultancy. Yes.
So we were doing it in Unilever. And those days when Mr. Yamson is walking on the corridor, just passing on the corridor.
You want to vanish.
You see, chairman. People literally enter into offices because chairman is passing. It was just a blessing to just watch people like you and him.
Yeah, so I never knew him from Adam, but it was just that we met. And I thought, you know, if he had achieved so much, then there's something in him you also have to borrow. And that he was coming in literally to head marketing, because the marketing director left a year after he joined, I think 6 months or 9 months. So suddenly he was thrust, the marketing manager's job was on him. So he became everybody's boss. So we all deferred to him. And the people that were with him, some, because of your peers, did not relate to him as positively as, so it became people like us who were now have to do the all the groundwork and all the write-ups and so it started, you know, built us very quickly.
I guess, and what you are seeing, that same experience in the UK where when you see work, you run towards it and say, let me write it, let me do it.
If you do, I'll give you an example. One day, in your level, you don't take things for granted. Even if you're doing the calendar, you ought to have looked at a concept and researched it. Since I had done market research and I'd come back to Ghana, it meant that I could put together a proposal for a calendar. But if you overlook it, I can't say anything. If the bosses don't ask me to go and do market research on it, but the agencies have brought the concept and you selected what you want and everybody is going. But then visitors came from London and wanted to know the basis for selecting that concept, which meant that we needed to show them a research report, which should have been done earlier. But they gave us time because we said, I think there was this 2 months. Other research was being done by lent us, or they didn't do it, or so quickly I said, no, let me go sit my own and put a research proposal together and go to the market. After all, we need only about 150 respondents, we don't need too many. So I quickly went and did the research, and then came, stayed the whole day, did the research, the next day wrote the report, so presented it to Mr. Beasley. There's a report on this. No questions asked. Presented. Everybody's happy with the concept. Oh, okay. You researched. So literally in my heart, I have saved everybody's face.
Hold it right there. In my heart, I have saved everybody's face. That is the pedestal, the moment of glory. I'm going to go for a break. Allow Mr. Martin Ison Benjamin to catch his breath. When we come back, we'll find out the engine room. What's happened in Nigeria to prepare him to come and now stand there and save everybody's life? And then find out the preparation of the proposal and the defense, which one is more difficult? This is Springboard, your virtual university, a multiple-layer masterclass with Martin Ison Benjamin. He's held several executive positions and chaired and been director of several different boards. But here today, we are trying to get into the engine room of his life to find out what kind of training prepares a leader like him? Springboard is brought to you by the Springboard Roadshow Foundation and proudly sponsored by MTN Ghana and the Enterprise Group, with media support from the Multimedia Group and the Graphic Communications Group. Let's go for a break. When we come back, let's dive a bit deeper into the life of Martin Ison Benjamin. Please don't go away.
When you want to eat, just Momo it. Tired of the long queues in the supermarket? Pay with Momo. When you really want that beautiful new blouse, just Momo it. When you want to get a trim and get fresh to impress you know who, just Momo it. When you need to pay your utility bills and domestic staff, Shani Momo. When you want to send love to the family back home, send some Momo. Join the millions of MTN Momo users all over Ghana and live life the brighter way. So just Momo it. MTN.
It's a century of safeguarding dreams with Enterprise Insurance. In the spirit of our 100th anniversary, Enterprise Insurance revs it up with Yafinia Motor Promotion. One lucky winner will cruise around in a sleek brand new Nissan Kicks SUV. First and second runner-ups will jet off to Dubai for an all-expense-paid escape. Renew or get your vehicle insurance between January and June 2024 and win free fuel coupons. Monthly raffle draws give you cool gadgets like laptops, Samsung phones, microwaves, gas cooker, tabletop fridge, and many more. Enterprise Insurance Yafinia Motor Promotion is on at all our branches. Call your broker or agent to buy or renew your motor insurance and make history with Ghana's oldest insurance company. Truly trusted. That's the Enterprise Advantage. Terms and conditions apply. This promo is regulated by the NLA on the Caritas Lottery platform.
Enterprise, your advantage.
Welcome back to Springboard, your virtual university, and to this incredible conversation with Martin Ison Benjamin. Let me quickly bring you the enterprise tip for the day. And the question for today is, why is it crucial to review your insurance coverage regularly? And the response is very simple. Regular reviews ensure that your coverage aligns with your current needs. The point is this, that at the time you took the policy, your needs may have been different. So updating allows you to review to reflect your current needs. So life changes such as marriage, a new home, or a growing family may require adjustments to your policy. So stay proactive to avoid gaps in your coverage. This tip is brought to you by the Enterprise Group. The number to call 030-263-4777 or email info@myenterprisegroup.io. Enterprise, your advantage. And of course, as we all know, he is a board member of the Enterprise Group and chairperson or chairman of Enterprise Insurance Company.
Yes.
One day I'll catalog all the directorships and chair the boards you chaired, and that alone will be another story. So Mr. Son Benjamin, let's find out about Nigeria. There's an interesting dynamic between Ghana and Nigeria, and I always want to explore when somebody goes to work in Nigeria, how it felt like, what was the response, what was the experience. So requesting to be sent from London to Lagos. How was it when you got to Lagos?
Well, I that time, you know, I was not a senior manager. I was just training. So I was going there in a very humble position to go and learn. Because as I told you, I wasn't getting the practical experience that I needed in London. And it's a consumer market research, and it's for Africans, basically. So if you sat in London and you did everything and you came back and you need application, it would have been nicer to apply it in an environment which is very close to yours. So that was my mindset. So I came to Nigeria and it was warmly received because at that time I wasn't going to boss anybody. It was an open opportunity and everybody took me in. And I came in and as I said, at a point in time, they brought somebody to come and polish us up from the British Market Research Institute. And when they came, I realized that it was my proposal that I wrote in London, which was being showcased as the best example of a proposal, you know.
Did your students, colleagues, your colleague managers and so on find out that you wrote that proposal?
I told them. In the long run, I told them that this guy who is being sent
here... The lecturer's
you know, this guy who is being sent here to teach us, what type of nonsense is this? The paper is showing you. I wrote it in London. I wrote them, two of them.
Did they see you differently?
And they all said, they knew I was in London. The guys in Nigeria knew I'd come from London. Because interestingly, I came with one of the managers in Nigeria who had visited. So we all literally departed back to London at the same time. He knew me a Nigeria. Bit. So he gave me accommodation. He wanted me to stay with them so they gave me accommodation. They were being paid by the company for giving me a room and the rest of it. So there I got immersed in what they were doing, and I enjoyed it. That was my first experience in Nigeria. So thereafter, when I came back to Ghana, when they needed somebody to go and relieve their board, one of the research executives, then they call on me. So I go to Nigeria and then relieve somebody again. I get to polish on what I knew. So I finished with that section, came back to Ghana, and worked for KBL for some time. Then on the back of the fact that I knew market research and the rest of it, there was market research going on in Sierra Leone. So I was asked to go and join the team. And in the process, relieve the brand manager who was Ghanaian to come on holiday. So I went to Sierra Leone and to support the research that was being done. And in the long run, instead of staying for 2 months, I stayed for 24 months in the sense that everybody wanted you to be there, you know.
What are you doing differently?
I took over from the gentleman, and he came back to Ghana to do his... He was a brand manager for Gilda. I was for Scabia, but I had gone to Sierra Leone and to relieve him. And when I went, because of the research knowledge that I had, you know, I was a little different from him because I was doing things differently in the sense that I joined research and I wrote a report and everybody was applauding because it was good. London said it was a good report and the rest of it. So when the need came for him to have returned, I think they decided to keep him in Ghana and not stay. So I even came to Ghana, went back. Then I stayed in the for the 2 months was over. Then we're over. And then I'm supposed to come back. But then one thing led to the other. Oh, 6 months, oh, 1 year. Oh. Unfortunately, in the process, my marketing director died in Sierra Leone. So there I became a de facto a marketing director, even though I was a young man, I was 29 years old at the time. So I took all the business and ran it until I left. So I was the marketing director, literally acting as marketing director for the period that I was there.
That was the highest responsibility you had held.
That was something that I never
at 29
completed. Yeah, because outside Ghana, thrown into the middle of nothing. But I left I applaud myself. I say I left with a record which nobody, you know, had. No, I don't know whether it's been broken up or the population has grown. By the time when I left, the volume of beer that we sold in 1 year was the highest that the company had sold, because of the sort of outgoing nature and the type of thing that I thought, look, why do we have to import beer? Why do you ask people bring imported beer into the country when we have beer here? So you, every nook and cranny, you go there. And you are with everybody, you are organized, you are exciting the market. And the long run, the beer became the issue. And everybody, even loved it. You see me everywhere. You go to Kellerman, go to Bo, you go to McKinney, I go to, you know, I was there because I was a young man and an extraordinary guy. So you deliver there. And after that, came back to Ghana and then continued from Ghana. So Nigeria then beckoned me, because after I came to back to Lever Brothers came back to KBL, they took me into Lever Brothers. They asked me to go. At that time, we had this coup and the market had collapsed in Lever Brothers. So on the back of the fact that I've been all over the place, I was asked to go and join Lever Brothers at the time. Again, orchestrated by Samson and others, that Martin should not idle in Kumasi because of the way things are going there. Because in 1981, there was a coup, and rest of it, they had just come from Sierra Leone. What is he going to do? If you are not careful, the guy will leave. Because so take him to Lever Brothers, where there's to activate the market. So they took me to Lever Brothers. At that time, the whole marketing business had fallen because of Kalabule and all those things. So everybody is literally petered out. So I went in there as the market operations manager. That is to say, sales and marketing on me. Even though it's a new territory, I was sent in there and ushered into a very challenging market, because fast-moving consumer goods and moving from selling beer to that area was a transition of stuff. But with a lot of research mind, you know, understanding consumers, understanding the way they behave, you can then relate it to every environment in which you go, because you test the market, you test the product. In the long run, I moved through and became the national sales manager. Then they decided that I should internationalize, because I can't just be on this little platform. So they took me, that's why I went back to Nigeria again as general brands manager of Nigerian Breweries. But that was the challenge. That was the interesting thing. That was the opportunity. When I was going, I was a job class 22. I was being thrown into a job class 27.
Jumped five steps.
Five steps. But I wasn't told in Ghana. It was luck. When I went to Nigeria and I sat in my office and I realized that, gee, these are the boys I'm going to work with. Double masters, Imperial College. Masters here. Masters here. You Ghanaian man, first degree. First degree. From this little platform, you are going to head all those boys. Unfortunately, beer in Nigeria was then not being brewed with Ballymore, because Abacha, who was the president, had decided that Nigerian breweries, all the breweries, must lose local raw material, which meant they had to produce a different beer and still sell to people and get their market share and their volume. So they create value, pay the shareholder properly, lead the market, become the best. And I was the first general brands manager to thrust into that, to take the market on. And within the 2 years that I was there, we excelled. There was the transition was so beautiful that people couldn't believe that I had come from Ghana.
Wow.
You know, because I was embedded, I was so embedded in Nigeria that I thought, you know, every young man should work there, because challenge is there. The people, the variety, it's a kaleidoscope. It's everything is happening.
In all these things, did you see a deliberate, because you talk and you see, and they decided, let's take him here. Let's take him here. Was I know there was a very intentional grooming, operate mentorship program in place in your liver. Would you think that right from the beginning, you were on the radar, or you think that as you began to work, the eyes were on you?
You see, once you as I started, I said sales rep, training manager, assistant manager. Once you tick all those boxes and you stabilize, then you know that you have a. Then they've sent you out to do market research. You go into another country. So if you are an intelligent person, you should realize that you have a role to play in that environment. So that's what even induced them to send me to Lever Brothers, because at the time I would have lost out if I stayed in KBL, you know. But Lever Brothers needed somebody who is going to change from the mindset of a beverage seller to fast-moving consumer goods and dealing in a real market situation. with the Smakola and the rest of them. You know. So generally, there was a systematic arrangement which will move you from one stage to the other. If you don't falter, the sky is your limit.
Let's talk about falter. What were the things for yourself that could make a person falter? For the benefit of our young listeners, viewers, young people who are pursuing their careers, what do you mean by falter?
You know, everybody must have some ethic. You know, that is, you must be aggressively interested in results, because the reason why you are employed is to help to deliver results. That is basic. You don't just employ you for fun. So once you've been employed, you should know those type of issues that you must, you know, endear others. You know, the others around you must see you as this is the person we think we can hang out with. And in the process, you need to realize that others have gone there and failed. The question is why? They have either gone after money and they failed, because at the time, there was Ghana, they were import licensing, there was Kalabule, there was everything. If you decide that you wanted money, you will get it. But then at the end of the day, they will find you out. I mean, nobody will say it, but it does happen that if they see a straight and honest guy, they know. The company knows. So therefore, I chose that path, that ethically, morally, I must build my brand. I must let the world know that I have been organized to lead. I mean, that's been the impression I got. So everywhere you go, you are achieving results. You are just blowing the records. So it was a deliberate effort on the part of Unilever, but then you must also be able to meet the targets that they've set for you. It's not just a matter of pushing you through the system and anywhere. And therefore, that deliberate arrangement favored me in the sense that I loved it. And I loved to work and work myself to the best position that anybody will get. I believed in that power. I believed I have to lead. I believe that if I lead, I can change people's mindsets. I believe I can do things differently. I also thought that I have that entrepreneurial spirit in me, and to understand that the business is not mine, and that whoever put me there is looking for results, and that at the end of the day, he has to make money. And I am the conduit they're using to be able to do those things. Now, if I get people to lead, I only have to polish them, because they can only make me strong if they are clean and tidy. If they are not properly managed and they are unhappy, they won't carry me on their shoulder. Now, that is the philosophy. You need to lead. But you need to lead people. So you need to set example that you are ethically, morally correct. You are honest. You are hardworking. You are empathetic. You understand the basis for the stakeholder or shareholder's values. He has brought you there, and you have to deliver to his values. When you put all those things together, you come to find that you tick the boxes and they are working for your favor. There's no way that the trajectory will not be to become the boss.
This is Springboard, your virtual university. My guest, Martin Isson Benjamin, giving us the untold story of his life and the attributes of Brand Isson Benjamin. He says he's organized to lead. I love the conviction and the clarity of thought of a man who has seen it all and done it all. And he's just breaking down the things that if you find yourself in a space that has opportunity, says be ethical or moral, be hardworking, and be empathetic towards your various stakeholders who have placed you there and ensure that their interest in placing you there are not short-changed. Once you do that, nobody can stop you from leading or rising to the top. I also found out, listening to you, that your writing skills were impeccable. Research was very big. You also had a big outgoing personality and an appetite for work. Which of these four would you say held you in the greatest stead? I know all of them did, but which are the four?
You see, okay, the Almighty directs us where we should go. So you cannot even achieve it on your own. In all this, that religiosity is at the bottom of it all.
So your personal faith in God?
I said personal faith. That there's nothing that somebody has done when given the same resources you should not be able to deliver. Except you don't have the penchant for getting things done right. If you went to school and went to university and you finished and you call yourself a graduate, then you are comparable to a graduate in Nigeria, comparable to a graduate in Seattle, comparable to a graduate in London. You should feel that you are comparable. The platforms might not be the same, but the book knowledge, theoretical knowledge, is the same. If you get an opportunity to rehaul into the same environment with other people, give yourself a few initial skirmishes. There's no reason why after a period you should not also start, if you are correct. If you are not able to do that, then you have a problem. That is my philosophy. So as you just said, I I pace myself from the fact that I'm working in an environment where everybody complains about things that people do negatively. So first, don't let that stick on you. Then when you talk, people will listen, in the sense that you are leading from. So I would put my hand on my chest and say, I'm impeccable. You know, I will say that. And then I think that on the base of that, there's a lot of trust that comes with that, because third party is also looking at you. Don't assume that nobody's looking at you. They know that Martin is genuine.
You know, in his book, The Speed of Trust, Stephen Covey talks about the direct relationship between trust and the speed of getting things done, and the inverse relationship between trust and the cost of getting things done. And his argument is very simple. If people trust you, business gets done faster. And if people trust you, business gets done cheaper.
I've not read the book, but I leave it an example of that sort of. I'm not trying to blow my horn, but I believe that it's been a lot of modest approach, the gradualist approach to do things, follow the rule, and make sure that in all things you've used the resources you have given to you and accounted properly for it, and everybody will see it. It's a matter of the talents. We all went to school, as I said, and you were giving one talent. We were all giving a talent. Some people went and buried theirs. But the same class, some people got 5. They did more than was expected of them. So if that is true, then it means that it resonates in every environment. So once you get a chance to lead, and I said, I have this philosophy of power. Not power in its own raw form, but I wish I could do this. I wish I was the mayor of Accra. Oh, I wish I was. If I say I wish I was, it means that I've seen something that I could do differently. But once I'm not the mayor, I always walk past and I say, oh, I wish. But get the power and make a difference. Mm. Get the power and run a business. Anywhere I've set foot, God being my helper, I've literally risen from the bottom to become the boss. It's become a routine. In a secondary school, after 4 years, I was house prefect. You leave, you come to Legon. Legon, I didn't involve because we had a lot of challenges. But I went to one of the young men who was taken out to Yugoslavia. You know, stayed there for 4 months, came back, and out of nothing, I went, came back, and then left. Went to KBL, moved on, became managing director in the long run, became to a marketing director of Unilever. Became church president, church. Everything that it became Adam. Today I'm a chief of my the people in my village. So I'm the chief. I mean, I didn't go and pay a penny because they isolated you from the crowd. I mean, they realized that you have something to offer us. So you have to empathize with the needs of the people around you. You need to realize that you have been brought into the world for a different purpose, and you need to let your light shine so that others will see and follow you. Otherwise, we all become the same.
And that is the note on which I'll end part one of this conversation. Otherwise, we would all be the same, but you have a contribution to make, and there is a light you must shine. In the second part of this interview with Martin Isom Benjamin, we'll find out at the top what happened. Is that he has, by the grace of God, risen to the top. Let's find out how life is at the top. Next week, join us for this conversation, and we will now be exploring life at the top, the choices, the victories, the pains, the lessons, the awards, the exposure, international recognition, and how all this can come together in a life that trusts in God and believes that you are here on the earth for a reason. Say, thank you very much for making time and for agreeing to do a second conversation. As you can realize, it's only one question out of 10 that we have answered.
You haven't said anything.
So thank you so much for making time, and let's do this again.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this has been Springboard, your virtual university. My guest is Martin Isom Benjamin, who has held leadership in several different organizations and brought his abilities to. My big takeout really is about a 22-year-old person living in university who tells himself that I can do it and literally goes out there into the world and tries out his ideas wherever he goes. And the biggest one is when everyone is running away from the opportunity or problem, he says, give it to me. And if you don't give it to him, he says, put me somewhere else where I can actually get work to do because I want work. Next week, join us for this conversation and let's find out more about Martin, his son, Benjamin. This has been Springboard, your virtual university, brought to you by the Springboard Ratio Foundation and proudly sponsored by MTN Pulse, the enterprise group, with media support from the multimedia group and the graphic communications group. My name is Albert Okran, saying God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you.
Turning point, no more searching.